I'll be reading from Acts chapter 21, verse 17 through 21. When we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs."
Thanks for that scripture reading. We've been in this series looking at the third missionary journey and really just hitting some highlights. You really, if you don't read through it, you're going to miss a lot of cool stuff. Last week, I had a great day doing at Watts, but we saw briefly how Paul, at the end of this missionary journey, starts heading back to Jerusalem. And he knows what's going to happen at Jerusalem. He knows what's facing him there. He knows it's his farewell tour. When he goes there, when he goes to Jerusalem, people have heard about his mission to the Gentiles. They've heard about what he's doing, and it's not going to be well received. But he's okay with that. He's ready to submit to God, even if it costs him his life. And our text this morning, it shows us that there are still a lot of Christians, or as it says there, it calls them followers of the way. That was one of the early titles for Christianity. They were followers of the way. And there's really a lot that were excited about the welcoming of the Gentiles. There were a lot of Jewish Christians that were excited to be part of what God was doing. They knew it would be different. They knew it might be uncomfortable to welcome in these people of a different ethnicity, a different tradition, a different history, to welcome them in. But they were good with it. They weren't all fighting it. And I think sometimes when you read the text, it sounds like, you know, every Jewish Christian was against it. But here you can see there's a group that's really excited that God's welcoming in these Gentiles. They're really excited that God's kingdom is much bigger than they thought, much more open than they thought. And in Acts 15, we see, kind of going back, there was this, they called it the Council of Jerusalem. And it was where all the big dogs in the church, they all got together. And they kind of talked, like, what are we doing? How are we going to handle Gentile Christians? You know, what are we going to make them do? Or what is it going to be required for them to be accepted into our community? And they decided not much. We're not putting all of our old Jewish laws and customs on them. Namely, the things that come up are like circumcision and if food laws are also going to be important. But they're saying, hey, they've agreed. The church leaders agreed. We're not making them do this stuff. But a lot of times what big councils or administrative groups do is they say, hey, we're going to do this, but never really think through, all right, who's implementing this stuff? What's that going to look like? Who's going to be hurt by it? How's this going to be received? And really what's interesting is they make this call, and then it's Paul who ends up doing a lot of the dirty work. It's Paul who ends up implementing a lot of these things, and it's Paul who catches a lot of flack for implementing these things. And you see that in our text, that there's kind of this hearsay said about him because of it. And so you see, like, Paul, yeah, he's a missionary to the Gentiles, but he's working through getting the Jewish people to accept what's going on. And that's a lot of what's going on in his third missionary journey, is he's unpacking what it really means and what it really looks like to let these Gentile Christians become part of our group. It's easy to say, it's a little harder to work through and be this, Paul's being the agent of change. And you know how we feel about change sometimes. That's difficult. And in this process, as they were letting Gentiles, this different group of people, come in and become full-fledged members of a Christian community that was once a very Jewish community, they're likely going to see the church is going to look different. Right? The church is going to look, if this Jewish group is letting in Gentile Christians, the community is going to feel different. It's not going to feel how it was. There's going to be some change there that might feel a little uncomfortable. And that's just kind of part of it. And I just want to say, like, here in a couple of weeks, when we have some new members come over from Willis, it might feel a little different. It's not going to feel wildly different, but maybe we need to be prepared for that. When you bring in a new group of people who are a little different, it's going to feel a little different. And I don't think that the Gentiles were coming to this predominantly Jewish religion trying to change a bunch of things. They weren't coming in there trying to say, like, all right, Gentiles, run this now. Let me tell you how it's going to be. And I don't think that Willis people are going to come in and do that either. But sometimes when you just bring yourself in who you are, there's a little bit of change that's going to come with it. And so there might be a little bit of anxiety with Westgate people about these Willis people coming over here. You know, what are they going to be? What are they going to be like? You know, do they have some kind of agendas? Are they going to change things? Are they going to steal my girlfriend? You know, are they weird? Yeah, they're weird. We're weird too. They're going to fit right in. But like the Gentiles, whenever they came over to this Jewish community, whenever they came into this Jewish Christian community, they didn't really come in looking to change a whole lot of things. And I really think, like, and I think Willis people, that's how they're coming. They're coming over here not wanting to change a bunch of things. And this isn't like a hard and fast rule, but they kind of generally say that about relationships, right? Like, if you were entering into like a dating relationship or a romantic relationship, if you're coming in there to change that person, that's probably not going to end well. If that's your agenda to change this person. And so that's an unhealthy mindset. But I was kind of thinking about this. We might hear some Willis people come in and say stuff like, and again, I don't want to call them Willis people forever. That's going to feel like that for a while, but eventually they're going to be our people. But we might hear some of them say, well, at Willis we did this. And I like this thing we did at Willis, and I like we did it this way there. And for some of us, and they're not all going to say that. And for some of us, that might like stick our hairs up a little bit. And well, you know, you might think something like, well, you ain't a Willis no mo. But we're not going to say that out loud. We're gonna withhold there. Because here's something else that we really need to acknowledge. They're losing something really special to them. We would have a really hard time if Westgate was closing. And so if you ever hear things like that, I liked it this way at Willis, or I wish we did this here, there might be a temptation to feel threatened by it, and there might even be a reason to feel threatened. But don't, instead of feeling threatened, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and hear someone who's grieving. Hear someone who's grieving. They're grieving the losses. So if they liked it this way or that way, you can even ask more. Maybe instead of reacting against it, say, well, tell me more about that. You know, what did you like about this? What was part of this tradition that you did that you loved? Let's not get mad. Let's not put our guard up. Let's take moments like that as hearing someone grieving, and it's actually a ministry opportunity. We actually get to be with people who are grieving a little bit and be a really soft place for them to land to work towards something really good together. So when you hear, if you ever hear anything, and I'm not saying you're going to hear a whole lot of stuff like that, but if you hear things like that, that might be a little offensive. Remember, they're grieving. And if you've ever walked with someone through grief, sometimes, again, not saying all the Willis people are going to do this, but sometimes when you're walking with someone through grief, they'll say something kind of biting and harsh every now and then, right? You ever experience that? We're like, ooh, wow. But you're like, well, they're grieving and they're going to get a pass here. And so I think I want to give them some of the benefit of the doubt with stuff like that. But Paul's message here to the Jewish people is, and this is really important, hey, you can still be who you are. You can practice circumcision, Jewish Christians. You can still do that. You can even refuse to eat delicious pork chops. That's you. You do you. That's fine. I'm not saying you have to quit doing that. But you do need to let people who are doing these things, people who aren't getting circumcised and people who are eating pork chops, you need to let them in too. You need to accept them. You can't force your beloved traditions on them. You can't do that. That's really all he's asking. And I think it's also important to mention, and they don't talk about this a lot, but the Gentiles coming over, they're making some serious concessions too. They're the ones coming into this new community. The Gentiles are having to adapt a lot. And that's something we also need to acknowledge. Like, the people coming over from Willis, they're coming into our church, this new community. They're adapting a lot already. They're dealing with a ton of, they're dealing with more change than we've ever had to. And so we need to acknowledge that and be patient with that. But I think a big concern for the Jewish people was if we bend and let these Gentiles believers come in with full fellowship without following our customs, it's going to change who we are. There's a little bit of truth in that, a little bit. It's not going to totally change who they are, but it's going to change some things a little bit. And you can see, you can even see in the third missionary journey, you can see the church looking less Jewish. Because they let in the Gentiles, it begins to look much less Jewish. Acts, going a little bit further back in the third missionary journey in Ephesus, that was where a lot of the missionary journey was. Acts 19:8-10 says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Unfortunately, you see, it looks kind of like a split happening. So Paul's in the synagogue with Jewish believers. Well, maybe not all of them believe in Jesus yet. And it's interesting because he's teaching them about Jesus. He's teaching them that, hey, the Messiah came. So that for some people, that might be new. And then the next thing that comes with that is also the Messiah died for the Gentiles as well. And so there's Paul's kind of this change agent. There's a lot of stuff that they're not going to want to hear. And it's interesting because it says they refuse. It's not that they didn't buy it or didn't believe it. It's almost like they're being obstinate, right? It's almost like Paul's really provided them with lots of evidence. He's made his case. It's pretty obvious that's what's going on, but they just refuse. And I found with a lot of people, and myself included, we are much more likely to believe something when it doesn't require us to change. We're much more likely to believe it if it doesn't make us change. But Paul's given them some stuff where if they believe it, you're going to have to change a lot. You're going to have to change so much that you're going to need to let these Gentile people who are way different than you come and be part of your community. And that's just easier to not believe. I don't want to change. So I'm just going to believe what I've always believed. I'm going to refuse. They're going to refuse to believe Paul. But ultimately what you see is because so many refuse, they end up having to go somewhere that's not the synagogue. So they're no longer meeting in this Jewish meeting place. They're meeting in something that looks maybe a little more secular, maybe a little more Greek. And so you can see a kind of a shift happening in the church. And you can probably imagine once they're meeting in this lecture hall of Tyrannus, which that's not what that is in the picture. That's somewhere in Ephesus. We don't know where the actual lecture hall is. But now that they're meeting there, Greek people, Gentile people are probably going to feel a little more safe or a little more comfortable going there than they are a synagogue. And so you can see these shifts subtly happening here. And again, I think that's also something important to note is that Willis people are changing a building, and that's going to be pretty different for them. That's a pretty big shift for them. But what's going on here is there's going to be some Jewish believers. Or even some Jewish people who are really going to have a problem with Paul. One, because some of them may not believe Jesus is the Messiah. But then there's even going to be Jewish Christians who don't like Paul because they want to keep and hold on to their customs. And they kind of view Paul as a threat by saying Gentiles don't have to do all these things. So when Paul goes to Jerusalem, which is like it's the headquarters of Judaism, and it's also really the headquarters of Jewish-style Christianity. And he's coming to Jerusalem fresh off welcoming in tons of Gentiles into the kingdom of God. And he's met with these Jewish Christians, and a lot of them say, hey, this is awesome. We love that you've integrated all these Gentile Christians into the church. That's awesome. But there's some who are not going to like it. There are some who are going to be very threatened by their ways and ways of doing things. And so verse 21, this one really interests me, almost makes me angry, but I want to highlight this. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses. telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. So when Paul gets to Jerusalem, this is the stuff that's spread about him. He's not saying that. He never said that. He's never said, like, forget the law of Moses. I don't like, don't circumcise your kids. Someone took something that Paul said, and they stretched it out and made it way, they took it 10 steps further than Paul was ever taking it. Saying he's saying something way worse than what he really said. Maybe they're afraid that's where Paul's going. Maybe they're afraid ultimately this is where this is going to end up. But he didn't do that. They're putting those words in his mouth. They're spreading misinformation. And it's really like, I mean, even in class this morning, as Steve was talking, I've talked about this before too, like, I'm not saying this. This is not what I'm saying. But some people think, oh, well, if he says this, then he's saying this. They're taking a thought and stretching it out way further than it needs to go. And this is something that's been, I really like, I hate political slam ads. Have you been seeing some of these? If you're watching football, there's these political slam ads that seriously, me and my son were watching a game and we laughed out loud at one of these slam ads because it just takes it so much further than whatever the candidate said or did. It's taking it to just such an extreme. And I know people don't like talking about politics, and I don't either, unless I'm being critical. I'm pretty good at being critical about stuff. But not making a political stand, but there are some things where it's like, that's not what they're saying. No one's trying to make a 40-year-old man play on a middle school basketball team. And that's what some of these commercials are communicating. And it's like, well, that's not going that far. You're taking it further. You're afraid that's how far they're taking it, but that's not what they've done yet. And that's what happened to Paul. They're afraid he's going there, but he has not done that yet. Stop putting words in his mouth. Stop caricaturing what he's doing. Stop demonizing him. He's not doing that. And I will tell you, I love what's going on here. Is there some Jewish Christians who are basically saying, hey, Paul, we've heard some people are saying this, but we know you, Paul, and we know that's not what you're doing. And so we want to work towards correcting that. And so this is what first I want to say, please don't be a person who takes something someone says and runs with it and says they're saying something they're not, or says they're pushing something they're not. It's destructive. It kills unity. It's not healthy. And so don't click the share button when you see something like that before you've done your, probably just don't click the share button, but make sure. And so another thing that they're doing that's really healthy here is they're going to the source. Sometimes we hear something that someone said and we just run with it and share it, when really what we should do is say, hey, did you really say this? Hey, I'm hearing this is what you're teaching. Hey, I'm hearing this is what you're pushing. Is that really true? And I've been really blessed as a minister. I haven't had to deal with much hostility. But every now and then, I really appreciate when someone comes up to me and says, hey, Brady, I remember as a youth parent, like, hey, I'm hearing that you're teaching this in class. Is that true? And usually it's like, no, someone is really taking something I said to a whole another level. And so it's just really important. If you hear something about someone, if you hear something that just sounds like, oh, that sounds like a character, just go to the source and ask them and confirm. Before you start spreading things. And that's not, I'm not saying that because something's going on in West, I'm not like trying to address a room. I'm just saying, like, this is a healthy habit to not spread outrage, because that's another, outrage seems to spread real easy. And this is outrage. They're outraged at Paul. And we live in a culture of outrage. Instead of getting outraged, let's just go to the source and say, hey, is this really what's going on? And probably 9 times out of 10, you'll figure out the outrage you're hearing is just a harsh caricature of what someone is really doing or what someone's really saying. We, as a church, I guess what I kind of want to leave y'all with this morning is a healthy Christian, but really a healthy person doesn't just jump to harsh criticisms, to anger, to outrage. They're going to give people time. They're going to think through things. They're going to give people grace. Like I said, Will's people might come over here and say something that might stick our hairs up a little, like make us, but instead of jumping to anger, instead of jumping to be like, ooh, they have an agenda, ooh, they're out to get us, ooh, they, you know, we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's hear people out. Let's be willing to listen before we start making judgments. Ultimately, for Paul, since we'll just address the end of the missionary journey here, it's not going to end well for Paul. He's going to get arrested in Jerusalem. He's going to get imprisoned, and he's ultimately going to be executed in Rome. But it's still a happy ending for Paul, because we know Paul has a hope of life after this. And so the challenge this morning is to be ready to welcome those who are different and accepting them, even though it's change, as we get ready to welcome over our brothers and sisters in Christ from Willis, to acknowledge this is a change that I believe God is a part of. And that's what some of the Jewish Christians had to acknowledge. This is a change that God's a part of. And even if it makes me a little uncomfortable, and even if it's a little different, I'm just excited to be part of what God is doing. And I'm excited to be a part of what God's doing as Willis comes over here. And so let's be ready to accept that and be willing to adapt ourselves a little bit towards that. And to not jump to conclusions about people, to not jump to conclusions about events, to resist the outrage that sometimes our society pushes, to resist the quick critical judgment that sometimes I personally am susceptible to. We have a God who gives us time. We have a God who gives us grace. May we be people who do the same. If you're here this morning, ready to receive his grace, we invite you to come now. Together we stand and sing.